today on Real Radio.
He's in control. He's in command. And he's laying his life down. He's willingly subjecting himself to scorn, spitting, beating, ridicule, rejection, ultimate crucifixion. For what? You know, for what? For you. For you and I, this is the gospel. This is the gospel of God, that his son came and died for us.
You're listening to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs, and this is a very special edition of Real Radio, along with the rest of this Passion Week. I'm David Jay, and that's my friend Pastor Jack. Hey, Pastor Jack, let me do something really unfair to you real quick, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, which is kind of normal for our radio show. I want to go through the days of the week, and can you just give me the major thought, starting with last Sunday? I'm going to say Sunday. What happened in the Passion Week last Palm Sunday? Just give me the main thought.
Yeah, main thought is this. Bible prophecy being fulfilled. Palm Sunday is all about Zechariah chapter 9. It's all about Daniel chapter 9. It is all about the identification. How would Israel identify her Messiah? All the Old Testament prophets had written this in advance. Psalm 118 as well. Jesus comes into the mountaintop and then to the city of Jerusalem. All pre-written, and people were to know that.
Okay, Monday. Give me two sentences on Monday.
Well, Monday's the famous cleansing of the temple. Jesus, in other words, very direct, very plainly, Jesus is saying, I condemn the fact that you have made merchandise and marketeering of what should be faith, not this religious thing you created. You've converted my Father's house from a house of prayer to some profitable enterprise. And Jesus shouted, my Father's house shall be called a house of prayer, but you've made it into a den of thieves. And then, of course, the shouting and the proclamation of the children. Beautiful. Out of the mouth of babes, God says, I've perfected praise. The children were shouting, Hosanna, which is to proclaim, save now, save us now. It's referenced only for and reserved for only the Messiah. They knew that at that day. They knew what was going on, but many failed to accept that.
And moving on into Tuesday, the longest day in the ministry of Jesus. What happened on Tuesday? Wrap that up for
me. Very quickly. Tuesday, longest day, as you said, tremendous amount of teaching, tremendous amount of proclamation. And by the way, Jesus exposed so much of the falsehood face to face, all of it to establish his authority before the eyes of man.
Wednesday. What went on Wednesday during the Passion Week?
On Wednesday, we looked at the disciples regarding them being taught by Jesus, the end time events, as it specifically deals with the last days or the end of days, many call it, and that's the 7-year tribulation period. He taught parables to the nation, to the people, trying to get them to be vigilant, to be ready, to open up their eyes. And then, of course, on Wednesday, we looked at Wednesday, and that is the tragic yet prophetic fulfillment of the planning that Judas embarked upon with the scribes, the Pharisees and all, to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, as the prophets foretold.
Which is what a slave was sold for, interestingly enough. We learned that yesterday. So let's put the proverbial brakes on, if you will, and look into Thursday, since we have a few minutes here on the air. Just so folks know, we're using the book of Matthew as our text. But if you're smart, you'll take a 3D view of the entire Passion Week by looking at all four Gospels, because quite frankly, that's the best way to look at it, looking at it in a 3D view. So let's talk about Thursday here. Can you give us a synopsis, and then we'll get into the details of what went on Thursday of Passion Week?
Well, you know, it's amazing because you said it right. We're looking at Matthew chapter 26, but for those of you who are able, and we'll repeat it, but Mark chapter 14 is the overlay, adding to Matthew 26, Luke chapter 22, John chapter 13. And so what we're looking at is really the events that lead up to, and their hearts, in a sense, are being prepared. I love this. This is when Jesus takes them to the upper room. This is where Jesus ministers to them the washing of the feet. Remember that?
It's when
they're all reclining now at the table, and they're eating in that oriental fashion. where they're laying on their side. The table is only about 16 to 18 inches high up off the ground. Pillows are all around the table, and they're leaning on one side and eating with the right hand on the other. And so as they're leaning, they're fellowshipping together. And it's in this moment where, for example, Judas is present. And this is that famous moment where Jesus says, there's one here at the table who will betray me, right? Mm-hmm. And what's powerful about that is they begin to ask him, is it I?
Yeah.
Right? Is it me? Which I find incredibly haunting. But Judas, of course, is now departing from that scene. Yeah. So you've got the events that are leading up. What's going to happen later on after this event is the arrest. They're going to go to the Garden of Gethsemane, a garden where it still is there today. It's not like the garden. It's not possibly. It is the ancient slope of the Mount of Olives, the Garden of Gethsemane, archaeologically confirmed. This is where Jesus would have gone. And that's where they gather for prayer. Of course, Jesus winds up sadly praying alone. The disciples fall asleep. And Jesus now is strengthened, prepared to meet the rest of the week that's coming head on. It's pretty amazing because Jesus is clearly talking like the end is near. He's revealing to them, this is it. This is the chronos of God. This is the chronology of God. I've come to the end of my earthly life. And the disciples, of course, are just not getting it. But he's telling them, teaching them, reminding them. And of course, they don't quite get it, but they will later.
It's a big day. Yeah. Thursday is a big day in the Passion Week. Let me throw this out there real quick. Jesus and his disciples basically prepare for the Passover. And isn't it interesting when it comes time for the Passover, Jesus says, all right, we're going to have Passover. Oh, by the way, you guys, go get this room for us. And much in the same way that he did Sunday, Palm Sunday, he said, by the way, there's a person waiting there for us and he'll know all about it.
Right.
He basically does this the same way. By the way, there's a room waiting for us and there's a guy that'll know all about it. So don't worry about it. I've taken care of all the details.
Right.
And he gets ready for the Lord's Supper. During the Lord's Supper, he says, you know, one of you is going to betray me. And then off to the Garden of Gethsemane. And that's also the day or night that Jesus was actually taken into custody. Am I right? This is a huge day.
It's a huge day. And it's a very emotional day. If you think of it, I can't imagine, you know, it's ridiculous to even try, but, you know, I want to try to see it not only through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but what about Jesus? Of course, he knows what's coming. But I can't fathom the emotion of it. I mean, think of us. You know, are there things that happen in your life that, you know, might keep you up all night or might cause you to be distracted? Can you imagine what Jesus knows? And yet, what's he doing? He's loving these guys. He's in control. He's in command. And he's laying his life down. He's willingly subjecting himself to scorn, spitting, beating, ridicule, rejection, ultimate crucifixion. For what? You know, for what? For you. For you and I, this is the gospel. This is the gospel of God, that his son came and died for us, for our sins.
Is it fair to call this day in the Passion Week an emotional roller coaster? I mean, is it fair to say that?
You know, of course. I personally believe, I know this is going to sound kind of off.
Go ahead.
But when I've studied the word, these accounts, which I hope all of you do, maybe this evening, gather around again and consider this broadcast today and the timing of it. I personally believe that the victory for my salvation was in the Garden of Gethsemane. I believe when Jesus was praying to the Father and he said, Father, if it's possible, remove this cup from me, the cup of salvation, remove it from me, the cup of suffering, the cup of redemption, remove it from me if it's possible. Isn't it amazing? The Father sent the message, frankly saying, it's not possible for man to be saved It's not possible. So
yeah.
In your humanity, Jesus, pick one. Die for the sins of mankind or press the escape button and get out now. This was his human option.
Yeah.
Okay? Jesus subjects his humanity to the will of the Father in his divinity.
Yeah.
And goes through with the deal. That deal was to purchase our salvation. And for me personally, I believe my salvation was, the victory of my salvation was in the Garden of Gethsemane, because from that moment on, Jesus gets up, he's in total control, he's in total peace, he goes to the scourge, he goes to the cross, and it's absolute victory ever since that moment of the Garden of Gethsemane.
And it was that moment in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus basically said, okay, let's do this.
Let's do it.
Let's get to it. Yeah.
Let's get it done.
And interestingly enough, Pastor Jack, as this day was going on, can I jump over to John chapters 14 through 16? Just real quick. Jesus, these are some loaded chapters. Would you touch on those for me?
Loaded chapters, to say the least. I've got to tell you, John 14, 15, and 16 have brought me more comfort over the years. Jesus announces to the disciples before his departure, that a side benefit, which is an essential benefit, don't get me wrong, will be of his work on the cross, is that after he ascends back to heaven, he's going to send the Holy Spirit to, and let me put it to you graphically and accurately, that the Holy Spirit would come and possess believers, that he would be their power. He would come upon them for strength. It's the Holy Spirit who will empower the believer to abide in Christ, John chapter 15. We know that the Holy Spirit prays for us from these chapters. We know that he's the promise of the Father, that this is how, listen, everybody, be delighted with this. If Jesus is in heaven, how does the Bible say that I'll never leave you or forsake you if he's in heaven? The answer is by the Holy Spirit who dwells within the believer. Think of that. If you ask a child today in Sunday school, or ask your kids, where's Jesus?
Yeah.
Listen, the young kids will point to their hearts and the older kids will point up.
Yeah.
Well, who's right? Both are right.
Yeah.
Jesus is enthroned in heaven above, but he resides in you and I, the believer, by the personage of the Holy Spirit. That would be ultimately fulfilled, of course, in John chapter 20, when Jesus breathes on the believers and they receive the Holy Spirit. That's the first biblical account of being born again, is John chapter 20. But then later in John chapter 14, 15, and 16, he's teaching about the Holy Spirit coming upon the believer. And that is, of course, the result of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came and came not in, but upon the believers. And that's when they had power to witness for Christ from that moment on. Fascinating, wonderful stuff.
This being Thursday and the Garden of Gethsemane, and I think I know the answer to this, Pastor Jack, but let me throw it out there anyway. Was Jesus surprised when he came back and found his disciples sleeping as he was praying?
You know, I believe he was not surprised. Yeah. The Bible tells us in the gospel accounts that Jesus knows that all men are liars. He said that. Mm-hmm. And Jesus knows that man is weak.
Yeah.
And yet it sounds like he's surprised when he says, what are you guys doing? I think that was to communicate to them almost by way of invitation. Okay, you should be praying. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Yeah.
Okay, and that is a true assessment of humanity. And yet I also believe that he's underlining the fact that salvation, the work of God, redemption, is beyond human ability. I think he's trying to highlight to us that the work of God is reserved by God himself, so we cannot help him achieve his mission. We just need to believe and trust him regarding that mission.
So Thursday night, did the trials of Jesus actually start to happen on that Thursday night?
Yeah. It appears from Scripture, and I think it's pretty accurate, that the betrayal wheels are turning.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is now in the garden. Judas is part of the dispatch, the entourage. Mm-hmm. In fact, if you would, Judas is the one that is to tip off for the Roman leadership that Jesus is the one. Remember, he's going to be approached by Judas and be kissed by Judas, which again is part of Bible prophecy fulfillment. And from that moment on, Jesus, without resistance, mind you, goes with them, complies. He doesn't defend mm-hmm. himself. He doesn't speak up to yeah. defend himself. He doesn't resist. Mm. Why? Because Isaiah 53 said exactly what he was going to be doing. And it's exactly that. We know that Peter, on this night in history, late this night, before midnight, we know that Peter will pull out his sword and strike Malchus, the assistant to the priest, and he'll miss and cut off Malchus's ear. Mm-hmm. And Jesus reminds us of his deity. He says, Peter, put away your sword, which I thought was a very gentle response to such a violent act.
Yeah,
Peter, put away your sword. Don't you know that I could call down 12 legions of angels to deliver me if that's the plan?
Yeah.
The Bible says Jesus stooped down. Now, I don't know about you, but if you get your ear cut off, don't you think you're going to be the one stooping down to grab the ear?
Yeah.
Jesus stoops down and grabs the man's ear. Yeah. Can you imagine? I wonder if he even dusted off the dust from yeah. from the ear and puts it back on the guy's head like Mr. Potato Head.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus just puts it back on there.
Yeah.
You want to talk about God being in control? He's being rejected by people and he's still loving them.
What blows my mind? At what point do you finally say, when you're one of the guards going to lead him away, wow, look at that miracle. Maybe I should believe in him.
I personally believe many of the guards did believe in him.
Yeah, had to be.
Amazing.
Was it in Matthew? I don't have it right in front of me. Was it Matthew or was it the book of John where they asked him who he was and he said, I am?
I am.
And
John.
And they fell back?
They fell backwards.
At what point of the falling back do you not say, oh, wow, this guy might be the Son of God?
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know what? This is a side note, but when you go throughout scriptures, the Roman guards
yeah.
are often portrayed in scripture as being favorable towards Jesus.
Yeah.
Now, granted, you've got the guys that are beating him. Mm-hmm. Those might have been Praetorian guards. They might have been guards of a different order. It doesn't matter. Most often, the guards are portrayed by scripture as being believers or coming yeah. to faith.
Yeah.
And who knows? Can you imagine being blown backwards on backwards? Jesus says, yeah. I am. Boom.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, man, but I would reconsider my worldview at that moment.
I'm hightailing it. I'm gone.
Yeah.
I mean, this all happened right in front of their eyes. I mean, the I am thing, then the ear thing. How much more do you need?
I don't know. Can you imagine too? You know, I've seen on some TV shows, people falling down in religious services.
Yeah.
But there's always somebody there to catch the guy from cracking his head.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who caught these guys?
Yeah, nobody.
I don't think anybody caught these guys. I think they got blown away, no pun intended. They got blown away, and I believe they landed on the ground without injury. I think they fell flat back on their backs without injury and stood up again. And even the falling down must have been of divine care. Mm. Remarkable stuff.
Peter denies Jesus on this Thursday. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, tragically. Tragically, but thankfully, right? Peter denies Jesus. I'm glad that's recorded. I'm sure Peter has another opinion about it being recorded, but I'm glad it is.
So let me read that real quick. Matthew chapter 26, verse 31. Then Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter answered and said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you that this night before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples.
Wow.
That happened on Thursday night.
Wow. And listen, This is so simple, but piercing to my heart. In my life, in your life, friend, if ever we respond like Peter and all the disciples, I'm not going to disappoint you, God. I'll come through for you, God. You can depend on me, God. If everybody else turns their back on you, I won't. We are your team. We're the ones. We are the, you know, we're your crusaders. No need to worry, God. We'll take it from here. That has got to be removed from us. Yeah. That kind of self-dependence and self-reliance when it comes to God is unacceptable. And what I find interesting is Peter publicly denied Jesus 3 times.
Yeah.
But let's be honest. There are numerous records in the New Testament account that the disciples rejected him also.
Yeah.
Why? Because they were hiding after the crucifixion. They fled at the crucifixion. They were nowhere to be seen. They were hiding out for fear. Mm-hmm. They all denied him, not just Peter. Peter's the personification of all of their collective rejection of Jesus, embarrassment, shame. Listen, they must have felt like they had been duped by Jesus. This is not going according to our plan. And their plan was, Jesus, this is a really good thing going here. I mean, we love what you've done for 3 years. Surely the kingdom's going to happen any day now. You can count on us. They had a wrong view of doctrine in totality, and it led them into fear and into depression because they didn't understand that Israel's Messiah would first have to suffer before he could be the savior of the world.
Yeah.
And it was all written down again in Isaiah. In fact, you read it a moment ago. Again, it jumped off the page. Davey, you quoted Zechariah 13. Again, Zechariah, the Old Testament, was being fulfilled. And they had it in their, they had it to read. They should have known.
You know, if you just made a decision for Christ and you'd like to get a hold of somebody to talk to, maybe to help you walk through the next few steps, head over to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and hit that contact tab, because we would really like to know about your decision for Christ. Maybe you've made that decision for Christ and you've got a few questions. Why don't you get in contact with us? Hit the contact tab at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You could also check out that Know God video that we've got at our website. That's K-N-O-W, Know God. If you've just made that decision and you'd like to know a little bit more, then head on over to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and hit that Know God tab. Hey, you know, around here at Real Radio, we work real hard to provide tools and resources to help you grow in your walk with God. And we think you're really going to like the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. It gives you tons of resources right there at your fingertips. This ministry, quite frankly, values your time, and hopefully you do too. So why don't you use some of that time with the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet? Tons of video and content available for you, like the Real Life TV broadcast, the Real Radio daily audio broadcasts, and Pastor Jack's weekly devotions right there. I hope you already have the Real Life app on your smartphone or tablet, but if you don't, go to your app store and get it, the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. By the way, next time you're on YouTube, why don't you set up your notifications to let you know when Pastor Jack has put something new up on YouTube? Wouldn't that be great? Just go to YouTube and look up Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Did you know that this ministry, by the way, is completely backed by you, our listeners? Thank you for your continued support. And if you'd like to donate to this ministry, you can do so right there at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And if you'd like to keep things real simple like I do, get the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet to find a real simple and easy way to support this ministry. Hey, just in case you haven't had a chance to check out our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's our website where you can keep in touch with us and find out what's going on with Real Radio and all that involves Real Life with Jack Hibbs. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.